League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
KCP on It's the Dog Talk podcast, and they talked about quite a bit. You get an NBA player to sit down with you, you're going to talk about several topics, but the thing that keeps popping up online is how that Rocket team was run when Steven Silas was around. And I'm one of the people who is like, do we always have to bury Steven Silas? He was put in a tough spot. He came in to coach Russell Westbrook and Harden, and then before he could even get really situated, Harden was like, actually, I don't want to be here anymore. Let's get me out of here because we can't win. And then he was stuck coaching a team that wasn't talented and then became a team that leaned into youth, and it wasn't the spot for him. And I haven't heard players bash him at all. It's been a lot of, well, it's Emay's just different. We do things differently, and it's worked out for us. So here's Jabari Smith talking to KCP and Jordan Magruder of the Dog Talk podcast about how Steven Silas knew basketball. He was just in a bad spot.
Yeah, Silas was our first coach. He was a good coach, but like I said, man, that couldn't nobody control that. It was just a wreck. You know what I'm saying? And if anybody know Coach Silas, like, he's the nicest dude in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, he know basketball. He know what he's talking about. Yeah. It's just like, as far as controlling that, it's just like, it was tough for him. But Emay came in and put some, Emay, Fred, and Dylan came in and put some control on.
So the Emay, Fred, and Dylan thing is important because later on he talked about how, yes, Eric Gordon was one of the vets during his early years with the Rockets. In fact, Jabari's going into year four, so Eric Gordon was there for year one with him. But that wasn't enough. He said they didn't have enough veterans. There was a lack of understanding of how the NBA game was, and when it's just a bunch of young guys trying to figure things out, you're going to have what you had under Steven Silas, where Steven Silas, hey, I just want to coach. I don't know if he was ready to kind of reel in everything that was going on. There's just a lot of young dudes trying to find their way. Wrong coach, wrong time, and it led to a lot of losing, but in some ways, that losing, not in some ways, in some direct ways, that losing led to your ability to stack talent. So it was not good basketball. People had tuned out that team. But if it's the basis and the foundation of what may be to come, who's to say Steven Silas isn't our Lovie Smith? And the reference there is Lovie Smith wasn't a guy looking to tank. So he tried to win that Colts game, and of course led to CJ Stroud. There was the thing where that Colts defender missed what was pretty much a pop-up for a pick. He missed it, led to a Texans touchdown, and they wound up winning that game. So another sliding doors thing. What if Lovie Smith was more in the tanking? What if Steven Silas maybe was better suited for the position? Maybe you don't get the chance to take the guys you took and build this roster to where it is now. So it all came together.
Yeah. They got like the most like medium lottery luck that you could possibly get, where like they never like fell in the draft or in the draft order. They didn't fall far, but they never got like the number one pick.
They never had that moment day of that night where everyone's like envisioning what it would mean to have the number one overall pick. It never came to fruition.
I mean, they had the two pick after Cade And so they got Jalen Green. Mm-hmm. They had the 3 pick after Paolo and Chet. And then in 23, they got the 4 pick after Wembanyama. It's like they didn't they didn't get screwed over like the Wizards or the Pistons. Other than the K draft, the Pistons would always drop as far as they possibly could.
Sure.
They just got the most okay, yeah, all right. And they just kind of assembled pretty good NBA players, but they're all 19 years old, so they needed to be guided along. There's no Victor Wembanyama, where it's like your team is just immediately much better now because you have this guy, or LeBron, where it's like even as a rookie, this guy just immediately, oh, we have some real high level talent that almost no one could screw up. It's like, no, they actually had talent that was good, but it was possible they screwed it up.
And he went on to talk about some differences between Silas and Ime, and he said, hey, everyone knows Ime has a screw loose. That was one of his quotes. And yeah, when you call LeBron James a bitch, I don't know if that means you have a screw loose, but you don't care about the conventional things other people care about in that spot.
Yeah, you're a different type of coach.
Yeah, he's different as you can say. Ime is definitely different and has led to a turnaround where now they're trying to cash in. You talk about their lottery luck and where they landed. Okay, Jalen Green, you take him at 2. I don't think anyone was really pushing back against that. Everyone loves a potential high scoring guard.
Yeah, there's a little bit of Mobley, a little bit, but no one was like, I can't believe they just drafted Jalen Green over Evan Mobley.
Yes,
in the moment, that was not a thing people thought.
That would be the one if you go back and say, could they have had a better player? Considering where they picked, yes, they could have.
Yes.
Amen Thompson at 4. So far, that looks like a clearly the right choice, even though you didn't get the ultimate lottery luck that you wanted. Jabari Smith, we had this conversation yesterday. Maybe I don't remember it correctly, but I thought people were upset that because they thought Jabari leading up until Woj, the betting odds changed.
Yeah, they did the Orlando Magic did this weird thing where they head faked who they're gonna pick. They smoke screened who they were gonna pick with the number one pick.
Yes, when you don't have to do that.
Yeah. And so as we were leading up to the draft, we were talking about the different guy, and we're like, wait, Paolo Banchero is the one that could lead an offense. He seems like a guy who could get hard buckets that you need, all these things. He's big, he's a wing. And you're like, wait, how is he not going to go in the top 2? Why is this happening? And then turns out he didn't. And you're like, okay, this makes more sense of how these prospects line up. Of you have the guy where you feel really good about, kind of conventional number one pick. Then you have athletic freak, or just physical freak of Chet Holmgren, where it's like, this is just a home run swing that the Thunder are making. And it's like, yeah, the pretty solid big shooter from Auburn who doesn't really dribble, that he goes 3rd. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. What you laid out, I remember and believe it makes sense. I just am trying to figure out if Rocket fans were upset because they thought they may lose out on Jabari because of the head fake, the Magic.
Yeah.
Unneedingly were trying to do. I don't remember how that played. I feel like they want, a lot of people wanted Jabari because of the shooting.
Yeah. Because anyone who's 6'10" and can shoot immediately, it's like Kevin Durant.
Yeah. It was a lot of that. So either way, it worked out. I was trying to think, Amen Thompson, obviously you take him, no problem with anyone that really went behind him.
It was between Thompson and Whitmore, at 4. And Whitmore fell all the way to 20.
And they wound up with both. And for now, we'll see where I get to that part of this Rockets transactional offseason in a little bit. But Jabari, do we think Keegan Murray's a better player? That's debatable.
Jalen Williams was in that draft.
Certainly, but that's a guy no one...
Yeah.
I can't fault him for not taking Jalen Williams.
I think he was a reach at, 11 or wherever he went.
12. I can't fault him for not taking Jalen Williams. He wasn't in consideration. So that would be tough on them to say, oh, you missed out.
Was Pods in that draft? They missed out on Pods.
Sure, Jake LaRavia, they missed out on him too. So I guess the only one you could go, I guess Keegan Murray, Jaden Ivey. Jaden Ivey's coming off. He'll have to come off an injury. But taking Jabari there was a sensible, reasonable choice.
That's the thing. It was all like they made the reasonable choice every time, but they never had the opportunity to get the, like, well, everyone and their mom would have picked Cade or Wembanyama one. They didn't get the chance to do that.
Yeah, they never did anything that has the entire
and they drafted
entire world shocked by the move. Yeah.
They drafted decently well with Eason, like their later first round picks. Eason trading up to get Shingun.
Yeah, they've done. Look, Rafael Stone's done a very good job building this roster. One guy he may have missed on though in the same draft as Jabari, although it felt like can't believe Cam Whitmore failed us. Did he go in the Jabari draft?
He was in the
Thompson draft. Yeah, we just talked about it. He was in the Thompson draft, and he fell to the Rockets, and everyone was like, look how great our luck is. Now, the reporting suggests that Cam Whitmore will be part of the trade that brings Dorian Finney-Smith in.
Yes, there's this giant – basically, nothing new is happening, I guess, other than Cam Whitmore maybe getting traded, but we are kind of knew that was going to happen. But it's just all the moves this offseason that have happened are basically getting folded into a giant sign-and-trade with the Durant deal.
Yes, so Cam Whitmore is the rare case where a new player that we hadn't heard that was going to be on the move is involved in this, because a lot of it is things have already been agreed to. We're just going to change the structure of these trades to maybe make it more financially beneficial to the player and the team making the trade. So Cam Whitmore would be an add to a potential larger trade, and it would mean the Rockets sending out one of their core seven, at least at the time he was listed as that. And that would be the second core seven member to be sent out, because Jalen Green has already been sent out. So two of them sent out in the same trade.
21 gun salute for the core seven.
No, because this show never believed that thing was real anyway. Partly because of this. When there's always a chance a couple of those guys were going to get sent away for differing reasons. And Cam Whitmore, different from Jalen. Jalen Green was used as the prime piece along with the 10th pick overall for Kevin Durant. Cam Whitmore is in a spot where it's not a fit here. Much like Steven Silas wasn't a fit for the roster he inherited, it turns out Cam Whitmore is not a fit for what the Rockets want to do. It's not an attack on him. Sure, there's been some questions about his attitude. Look, he's a young 20-year-old kid or player, at least. I don't know what he's going to be when he's 26. He just didn't fit here. Probably best for all parties for him to find a spot. Not sure he's going to get a lot of playing time with the Lakers. A team who feels like no matter what the drama is around LeBron, they're going to be trying to win. I don't know if they're a good developmental spot for Cam Whitmore.
It's funny because the Rockets are a team that's like, we have a bunch of wings. We have a bunch of guys that play your position, but we don't really have anyone that does your skill set.
Yeah.
But just how we want to play, whatever. We just don't feel like we can carry you on the roster if we're not going to use you. Or, you know, again, there's four wings ahead of you in the rotation. Or zero. Some say
zero. Tell it to John Hollinger, yeah.
Yeah. But, and then he goes, and then if he goes to the Lakers, it's, well, we have all the scoring down. We really just need someone who's 6'6" and can physically play defense.
Yeah, the Lakers are looking for a wing. I don't know if Cam Whitmore fits exactly what they want. They may still be in the market for one. Andrew Wiggins is someone they apparently want. It's just that the asking price currently is more than they are willing to give. I think at last look, Andrew Wiggins would go to the Lakers in a trade, but the Heat are not only asking for Dalton Connect, they don't think, I guess, much of Rui, maybe, because they're also asking for a first-round pick. And Lakers, at the moment, are saying, that's too rich for us. We don't really have a lot of first-round picks to dole out. And giving one up for Andrew Wiggins, along with dealing our recent first-round pick in Dalton Connect, feels like too much of an ask.
Yeah.
But that's why negotiations happen.
The Lakers are in a situation where it's like, we really need more players that can play for us. The Lakers famously had, what was it, game four of the Minnesota series, where they didn't make a sub the entire second half. All five guys that started the third quarter played the entire second half. And that's just what you do when you only have five guys that you trust. And one of those guys was Rui Hachimura. So we can't – and I think one of them was Dorian Finney-Smith. That was Finney-Smith, Hachimura, and then Reeves, LeBron, Luka. if I'm the Lakers, I'm like, I don't think we can keep trading away guys or losing guys and only get one person back in return. Yeah. Like, I don't think we can play or we can get rid of Rui and then get Wiggins back
so
without adding some other person because we lost Finney Smith.
Well,
I guess LaRavia.
They did add LaRavia, and if they need another wing, the money, I think, works if you add Haywood Highsmith, who's another wing defender who shot pretty well from three, I think around 40%, a catch-and-shoot guy. So that might...
If I'm the Lakers, I'm more worried about the defense than I am.
Well, Haywood is a defender.
So. I would go, you know, we always talk about 3-and-D wings, and normally, like, a guy's more of a defensive wing that can shoot, that's like, he can be passable shooting, or he's a shooter who can be passable on defense. I would lean defense for the Lakers, given their three best players. I guess LeBron's still pretty good at defense.
When he has the energy to try.
But Luka and Reeves, it's almost not just that they're bad at defense or they're attackable at defense. It's that everyone knows that they're going to attack him. It's like part of the game plan is just like, we'll just go after him every single time.
Yeah, it's a feature of what the other team's doing.
Or like sometimes
not
like,
falling back to that.
Yeah, you can put a bad defender out there and like teams just won't mercilessly attack them. Luka and Reeves, they just get mercilessly attacked.
The reputation is such that why wouldn't we run our offense just attacking these two? So. Yeah. Highsmith and Wiggins would fit the profile of defensive wings that the Lakers are desperate for. We'll see if they become another contender, which at this point most people don't think they are, with the and then you have the LeBron thing hanging over their head. Okay, we'll go to break with that. Michael Carroll will join us at right around 11:30. He'll get you into the best things to watch this weekend. So it's the summertime, so it's time for those movies. And maybe he'll sell you on F1. Maybe you haven't seen the Brad Pitt F1 movie. It's doing well, so maybe you want to check that out. And, of course, a lot to get to. I saw Jurassic. I've seen some. That's the movie he watched. He watched the new Jurassic Park movie, I believe. That's what he tagged me with. So Michael Carroll, I think we'll have a review of that. From what I've seen from some people who've actually seen it, who you wouldn't call critics per se, just people who got the invite, they enjoyed it. Scarlett Johansson's in it. That might be enough for some of you people. We'll see what Michael Carroll thinks when he joins us. But we got one more segment before we get there. We'll be back. For the most part, you hear the name Aaron Rodgers. And if you're not thinking about his play on the field, I don't know if there are a lot of positives. Like, no one's like, oh, yeah, I love Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that is part of his story right now. It certainly wasn't the case when it came to DeMaurice Smith, former head of the NFLPA. He has a new book coming out, and one of the pull quotes that people are focusing on is this from DeMaurice Smith. The God of Cheesehead Nation was isolated and dismissive. He sat in the back row of the meeting room, issuing loud sighs before standing for a dramatic exit. An incredible quarterback, to be sure, but an even more impressive antagonist. I didn't know DeMaurice had that in him. Is he the one writing this book?
Yeah.
All that flowery language about...
What was the start? The Lord of Cheesehead
the
Nation?
The God of Cheesehead Nation was isolated and dismissive, reads Smith's description. Also this... In August 2021, my phone chirped with a do people say chirped? Well, maybe, I guess. Chirped with a text from Aaron Rodgers. Can you call me, it read. Could I not run into traffic instead? Wow. Rodgers, so annoying.
It's so funny how, like, borderline overwritten the first one is, and then the second one
this
is
one
just
seems
like
more in line with what I'd imagine DeMaurice Smith thinks and says and how he talks.
Every time he talks, I want to,
I don't think that's unique when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. Look, his teammates seem to like him. It appears that way, unless your name is like Garrett Wilson, who didn't like the de-emphasizing of him when
Greg Jennings.
Yeah, it has happened. I think the initial impression is we like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And then you get to know him, which isn't great.
That seems to be the case. Everyone except like AJ Hawk and
David Bakhtiari.
David Bakhtiari.
Some guys love him. Others have had their fill.
It's like neutral to negative.
Yeah, and D'Amore Smith feels like a firm negative.
Yeah, I'd mark him. I don't know what this – this is a book that he's writing, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Excerpts of a book?
Sure.
I would like this – like, I'm not really interested in what D'Amore Smith's, like, book is actually about. I would just want just stories of, like, who's an a-hole. Just, like –
truly.
D'Amore Smith just being like, this guy, meh, don't like him. This guy, this guy, awesome.
Like, what, yeah. When
very you, productive.
Yeah, the times you had to sit down with the representatives for the – for the owners, yeah. Whether it be Goodell, who he does, who he wasn't fond of, either according to stuff from the book, or maybe you had to talk with Jerry Jones, and Jerry Jones was saying a lot of stuff you didn't know what he was saying. You just nodded your head because it's Jerry Jones. That stuff I'm looking for.
Yeah, just be stories of like here's me interacting with Jerry Jones. Spoiler alert, kind of a wild guy. He's a bit much.
Yeah, but yet I always knew he'd be a great actor. He goes, D'Amore Smith, not surprised by Jerry Jones and Landman.
There's a certain emotional availability that you get with Jerry Jones that translates to the screen.
Let me put this to you and see if you like the title.
His real book.
Yes. Okay. D'Amore Smith's real book is titled Turf Wars. How do we feel about the title?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Would like it if it was natural grass. So the Players Association.
You're taking my bit. And their bit as well.
But yeah, I think that's good. I imagine it's about the negotiations that he's had to go through with the NFL. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Do we have a cover? Is he like standing with his arms folded or standing with a football or something?
I have not seen that. But he described
I could see myself walking down, you know,
at Barnes and Noble if you ever walk
just
in
being
there.
Like, okay.
Yeah, okay.
I'm open to this.
He described Roger Goodell like you would describe Bob from Thunderbolts. He was a cold, dark void.
Jesus.
A cold, dark void.
Okay.
For Roger
Goodell.
Who is he? Who's the ghostwriter? Did he write this or did he have an actual writer write this thing? Because describing an individual as a cold, dark void. Oh, you Stephen King talking about something in a horror book he's writing?
Like, I have no quant. Like, he's obviously a smart guy. Like, he definitely knows how to write. I'm pretty sure he's a lawyer.
Yeah, he was a lawyer, yes.
Yeah. So,
may still be a lawyer. He was like a prosecutor, I think a U.S. prosecutor.
Yeah. There's just like a certain level of like imagery that he uses.
Yeah.
It's just like.
It's not me surprised with him being able to be eloquent. I know he is. He wouldn't be in a position that he is. But the fact that he's writing in this fashion, he's really painting a picture.
Yeah. I don't know. Who is he more negative towards in your eye, just based off these snippets?
Well, he did call Aaron Rodgers a god. It was of Cheesehead Nation, but he did call him a god. He didn't call him a cold, dark void.
Well, I mean, is the void not also a god?
He had godlike powers, but all you had to do was be nice to him, and that stuff kind of went
Spoilers.
Away. Yeah. Yes. All you had to do was be all you had to do was be Florence Pugh and be nice to him. There are levels
that
to
helps.
Not sure of David Harbour, what's his name, Alexi, whatever, or the Red Guardian. I don't think if he was as nice as Florence Pugh was, it would have worked out.
If Wyatt Russell starts hugging, get off me, dude.
Yeah, the U.S. agent.
Yeah,
don't think it would have worked the same.
Don't you have a kid? To
be
in the life of
to ignore, according to the movie at least.
Not real Wyatt Russell.
Not Wyatt. I don't know if Wyatt Russell, Kurt Russell's son, actually has a kid, but we're talking about his character, just to be clean it up. And this all fits because Michael Carroll is coming up next. But yeah, cold, dark void, Roger Goodell. Hey, Roger, when he does his little tour as the NFL seasons come around, Roger, or cold, dark void. Answer that.
How do you feel about being called a cold, dark void? And he's like, I don't care.
Well,
that's
fits.
What a cold, dark void
would say, Roger. Come on. You got to sell it a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah. At least, like, no. Cold, dark void's tough. There's not, like, even kind of a compliment in there.
There's no. Cold, dark, and a void. Cold drink, you love. A dark room when you weren't going to sleep? Great. Void? How do you make that sound good? And then you combine all three together? There's no chance.
Yeah, it's. I mean, he's kind of just calling him like an energy vampire.
Yeah.
Just look, it just sucks to be around this guy. Oh, okay.
Well,
same thing with Aaron Rodgers, but at least he's good at football.
Well, okay, you asked. Let me ask you, put it to you. Would you rather have someone call you a cold, dark void, or would you rather have them say they'd rather run into traffic than talk to you?
That's tough.
Like a person who kind of knows you, who's had interactions with you. It's not some random. D. Maurice Smith has had interactions with Roger Goodell. He's had to be around Aaron Rodgers. You take cold, dark void over.
I think so.
I kind of think I would, too. Someone saying I'd commit suicide by car as opposed to talking to me, that's tough.
Yeah, where cold, dark void is more just a description of your personality or lack thereof.
Yeah, but you're not looking to end your life.
Yeah, that's like just this is who this person is, you know, take it or leave it. The other one is like, this guy's a douche. I want to kill myself. Like, it's much more aggressive.
Yes. The 5-minute conversation I might have with him over the phone is far worse than me taking my chances with oncoming traffic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. It's tough for both. I think I side with Roger Goodell because at least the owners like me enough to keep paying me for this job. And I'm making a lot of money doing that.
That's true.
We have a call who wants to talk to Michael Carroll. If you want to do that, you can. 713-780-3776. We take calls. We talk about the movies and the TV shows that are coming out. We do all that when we are joined by Michael Carroll. But before we do any of that, fireworks have been a topic of conversation, well, really all day. And someone sent us a tweet that I won't reference because it doesn't fit what I need to talk about right now when it comes to fireworks. I'm just going to let you know, sir, I saw it. I just can't highlight it because it doesn't really fit what we're trying to do right now. Top Dog Fireworks, that's the place you go to if you want great fireworks from a great Houston location. They got 14 of those in town. They're open. You can check out all they have to offer at topdogfireworks.com. And we're getting close. They're going to be open till midnight on July 4th. So all day long, you got a chance to take advantage, or at least the next couple of days, take advantage of what Top Dog has to offer. And if you spend like $250, you get a reward, at least while supplies last. And you can see all that stuff at topdogfireworks.com. And remember, a portion of every sale goes to a local youth group. So you're not just doing things to have a good time. You're also doing things to support the local community and the kids in the local community. And by the way, yes, it's for July 4th, but people use fireworks for other things like weddings and birthday parties. You got a gender reveal. All that stuff is there for you, and Top Dog will provide that. And of course, as they're open till midnight on July 4th, that means you can take advantage of their buy one, get one free stuff up until that time, too. So they're going to give you chances to make your money go further, whether you're spending that $450, or at least whether you're entering the $450 giveaway contest, or maybe you're part of the grand prize Top Dog Beast assortment. That's valued at $1,100. You can enter both those contests by going to topdogfireworks.com or filling out an entry form at one of the locations. We're getting close. Get your fireworks on Top Dog, topdogfireworks.com. Get them right now at Top Dog.
You should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll's here with us today early because we won't be around tomorrow. So, Michael Carroll,
it's a holiday.
It is. We thank you for joining us to tell the people what they should or shouldn't watch. And you got the chance to go see Jurassic World Rebirth.
I did.
So there currently is a non-spoiler review. Mm-hmm. You can find that on Comicast right now. It's issue 601. They certainly talk about some other things as well, but that's kind of the big the big thing going on.
The hook.
You got more dinosaurs. You got Scarlett Johansson in it. You've got
Mahershala Ali
in it. Might as well do that since Blade won't ever be made. So thank you for continuing to be in our lives, Mahershala Ali. So Michael has a non-spoiler review. You can find Comicast wherever you listen to podcasts, the traditional ways. And, of course, you can hear Comicast right here on ESPN 975 as well. So Michael's going to tell you if it's good or not, but he's not going to give it away. Hey, guess what? Dinosaurs on the rampage. I feel like that's all you need to know because that's kind of how all those movies go.
I was going to say, it is a little hard to spoil a Jurassic Park movie?
Who dies and who doesn't, I guess. That would be something you can spoil if people care about that.
Well, it's funny you guys start with this because it's – I mean, if you've seen a Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, you kind of know where it's going.
Sure.
And it's predictable in that sense. And like you said – you can kind of figure out who's going to live, who's going to die based off the amount of lines they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this person only got, like, yeah. Hey, how's it going?
They have my guy Jesse from The Last of Us where he keeps saying, I can't die.
Yeah. They don't even do that. Like, it's not even that.
I need to go home to be with my family.
It's the Star Trek thing where it's like, oh, if they're a red shirt, they're probably dead.
Yeah.
It's that, but they just don't wear red shirts. They just don't talk a lot. And it's oh, I get it. I get what's happening.
It feels like you're telling us ScarJo survives for a potential next one. It feels like that's what you're saying. You're not saying it, but
I'm not saying it.
I walked in thinking ScarJo is going to get ripped apart by a velociraptor.
Well,
actually,
I wish they would do some stuff like that. Not that it could be for ScarJo, maybe for someone else. But, you know, Michael Peña died early in Landman, didn't make it out of the first episode. That's an actor you would think would make it past, and he was dead. But Jurassic Park's not about that life.
Side note, I just watched The Cleaner for the first time,
yeah.
And Clive Owen is barely in that movie,
even though
he's marketed as being a part of the movie.
It did happen that way, yeah.
Insane to me. But anyway, that's another.
So there is a realm where that happens.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park isn't that realm, though.
Jurassic Park is not that realm. It's better than the last two, 100%. And I personally think it's better than the last three Jurassic World movies.
Okay.
I like the...
So you said Chris Pratt out and you're good.
Get out of here, Chris Pratt.
And it's good again.
Because it does harken back to, like, the old elements of, like, horror and, you know, being in practical set pieces and things like that. Obviously, the dinosaurs are all CGI. What a shock. But still, it works with the way they shot it. The set pieces
are fun. So no trained raptors?
No training raptors. Okay. No.
Peter will love that.
Yeah, there is a mutation storyline, but it's not the core of it.
Okay.
And that's, you know, it's fine, whatever. It's like, once you get to the dinosaurs, that's where the movie's like, okay, cool. My biggest complaint is that there's a plot A and a plot B, and they intersect at the beginning, they intersect at the end, but they don't really intersect throughout the middle of the movie. And to me, that was a problem, just because I felt like you could have learned more about the characters, both sides, if you had just intertwined those stories a lot more than they did. And it's a little slow to get going as well. So that's there's a lot of reviews, specifically critics, that are not a big fan of the movie, but audiences, I think, you get the gist of it.
Is it a little bit different from, like, the Transformers stuff or Godzilla stuff where, hey, we just want to see these things fight because, well, first the Transformers talk. But but mostly with those movies, less humans, the better. People don't really care about the human storylines. Does this one fit that, where the human element doesn't really add anything to it? In fact, it detracts from the spectacle?
No, I think the human element is good. It just needs to be expanded more.
Expanded, okay.
Because the trio of Mahershala Ali, Jonathan Bailey, and Scarlett Johansson are I think, what makes the movie work.
Okay.
Their dynamic between all three of them is really good. There's the plot B is a family that's stranded, and I think if you just intersected them a lot more with the trio, like, the movie works a lot more. It's fine. I gave it a 3.5 just because I like a 3.5 out of 5 just because I like what it does with the dinosaurs and different things. But there is some struggles with the movie. It's not a perfect movie, definitely not.
Got it.
So
let's get to Eric here. He has a question about a new movie, or at least maybe wants to alert us to a new movie. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Dale, I have a quick question for you. How can we stop Ike from harassing and kidnapping the Mexican fans at the soccer match? And also, Michael, I heard there's going to be a new Bane movie with Deathstroke in it from James Gunn. And one more thing. I heard that musical Spinners is coming out on HBO this weekend. Is it worth a watch? Listen.
Did he say Sinners?
Yeah, Sinners.
You mean the movie you crushed before? Now you're asking if it's worth the watch? Not a serious person, Eric. You think I don't remember you taking a shot at Sinners? Oh, is it worth the watch? So you didn't see it. Big surprise. I don't have any control over what happens at the Gold Cup final. Sorry, I may there. Oh. No, I can't control how the government operates.
Oh,
so I just hope everyone who's there enjoys what should be a competitive match. Nope, have control about what happens in my own show. So certainly don't have any control about what the federal government decides to do. I'm just there. Maybe I'll be there to watch a competitive soccer match and see if El Tri loses to my squad one more time. But as far as the Bane movie by James Gunn, what have you heard about?
There's rumors about a Deathstroke Bane movie. Kind of, I don't want to say it's in the vein of the Clayface movie because that's more of a horror movie. But there is rumors that there's some kind of script being written for a story for those two characters. He hasn't confirmed anything, and he won't confirm anything unless there's an actual script. And so I would not hold out hope for that movie because he also hinted at a project being canceled recently, and that might be one of those projects that they're just putting on the back burner or canceling just outright. So there is rumors and there is some speculation about it, but don't expect that to come to pass. And then Sinners, is hitting HBO Max Friday. So for folks that haven't seen it, check it out on HBO Max this Friday.
Let's go to some things that are coming out you can watch from home if you don't want to spend any time out this holiday weekend. Maybe you're a hobbit or a hermit. Excuse me, the word I'm looking for, not hobbit. Hobbit's a different thing altogether. Hermit is
if you have the One Ring and you're looking to do something this weekend and not take it to Mordor.
Don't
chill with your pipe and Samwise Gamgee. And watch.
If you want to hang out in the Shire and shoot fireworks, I get it.
Yeah. And possibly don't fail like Frodo did at the end. If we just watched the movie.
The Shire would love 4th of July.
Canonically, what we know, hobbits do love fireworks as long as they're on the back of Gandalf's wagon. We've seen them love fireworks in that way. But let's go back to what I should have said. If you're a hermit and you would prefer to stay at home this weekend, and I understand it, what's best available?
So let me go quickly to theaters because Jurassic World obviously
just ignored my directive.
I'm sorry.
Told you I don't have control of this.
Sorry, but Jurassic World's obviously the big thing.
Yeah.
But I do want to highlight, I think the top pick for the weekend is in theaters and it's 40 Acres, the new film with Daniel Deadweiler. No, I heard that.
That's a sequel.
No.
Let's see how well this one does.
No. So 40 Acres is a...
So it's about University of Texas.
No. It's after a series of plagues and wars leave society in ruins, the Freemans are surviving, even thriving, on a farm in the middle of nowhere, so long as they repel occasional raiding party. And a former soldier, Haley, played by Daniel Deadweiler, and her partner have fled the collapse, trying to train their kids to survive in this new world. And it looks very, very, very good. And it's getting rave reviews right now, 90% with critics. So if you're looking for something that's a good thriller, I would say go check that out. Of course, the crowd pleaser is Jurassic World Rebirth.
Michael, you pushed back on the joke I set off air. You mentioned, but if I'm looking at the demographics of this movie, you don't think there's a little play on words here?
No, there's a group of Freemen.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, what do you mean?
You're not wrong.
Yeah, hey, come on. You're pushing back on it, and look at what's going on here.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got a good point. You're right. You're not wrong.
I understand why you wouldn't want to be involved in
that
joke.
You understand why I don't, you know.
Yes, much like John when he rubs his forearm. I get what you're doing.
You know?
But I feel like I'm dead on. We'll see how the movie plays out, but I feel like my joke was well crafted. We'll see.
You probably are right. I feel like I can't just, you know what I'm saying?
There's some things you pick your battles. I get in this one, you don't want to be a part of.
No.
But 40 Acres, as he said, is in theaters, getting good reviews. So maybe something to enjoy. A little off. If you don't want to watch CGI dinosaurs, you may just want to deal with actual people with no dinosaurs. Yeah. This one might be the one for you.
Walk past all the people seeing Jurassic Park, seeing F1, and being like, I'm seeing real cinema.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you're one of those people who believes in real cinema.
Yeah. Maybe.
Oh, you're watching the Brad Pitt movie? Cool.
Hey, be cool.
I'm watching 40 Acres.
Be that indie person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. All the top bands, whatever. Nah.
Yeah.
Go for the indie thing.
Yeah. You like
ticking in crates over here.
Yeah, you like MGMT when they were doing stuff for like 40 people before kids hit. You're one of those people. I understand. This 40 acres is for you.
Side note, I literally found out about this movie this morning when I was doing prep for this.
He's not a cinema guy.
I had no idea.
He's watching Jurassic World.
I'm the guy watching Jurassic World, and I'm the guy at home watching The Old Guard 2.
This is what I want to discuss. Charlize is back doing action movies, but from your face, and to be honest, from the trailer, I wasn't very impressed, and from your face,
yeah,
you may be suggesting that I should just stick with The Old Guard 1, yeah, not watch Old Guard 2.
Don't watch Old Guard.
It felt like from the trailer was off.
The trailer was fine. It was. I watched the movie and I was disappointed. Mm-hmm. I've been hyping up because I liked the first one. I think the first one's very good. It's a good action movie.
I agree.
This one does not tell a complete story. It should be The Old Guard 2 Part 1.
Mm.
It does not complete its story. It does the thing where it goes too in depth with aspects of the immortal storyline that you probably didn't need to know about. And, you know, you remember the first one. It ends with a character coming back, Quinn.
I remember.
I mean, it's a five-year-old movie, so that's kind of a key thing that should be a focus on in part two. And it is a focus, kind of, because they introduce Uma Thurman's character, and that takes up time. And just other aspects in the movie where it's slower than the first one. There is action and it's good, but it's not what I was looking for with the second film. I wanted you to focus on Charlize Theron's Andy, and I forget the actress's name who plays Quinn. That should have been the focus, and save Uma Thurman. If you're going to do a third one, save her for the next one.
Sometimes these movies where they were relatively succinct and small in the first one, and mm-hmm. that's what and people love it. They always expand because, hey, let's be bigger and better, and usually it's not better.
It's not, yeah, and they don't resolve anything. Like, it's just, like, it's a lot of setup, and it's just so frustrating that, are we going to get a third one? I doubt it. So you wasted that time. You wasted all those years in between the film. Like, it's a disappointing thing because I wanted to like
this movie. As much as I like The Old Guard, it's not something where 5 years should have transpired between one and two.
No, and part of it, obviously, COVID,
yeah,
writer strikes,
schedules, all that
schedules
stuff.
And stuff like that. But still, 5 years is a long time for this movie.
For a Netflix-only movie?
And a movie that I think was done a while ago. So why it was just sitting on the shelf, I don't know. But
I haven't even seen any promo for it. Have you seen?
Very, very limited.
Any junkets? Anybody rolling around talking about it?
Not really. Not
Which
too much.
Probably
so.
Speaks to they all knew.
Yeah,
this isn't the movie to go out and stunt for.
Which
yeah.
sucks, because like Charlize Theron, she's good.
Yeah.
Like Keke Lane, she's good. Uma Thurman is Uma Thurman. Like,
just the story doesn't connect.
Yeah, just okay. story. Henry Golding's in it. I mean, it's a frustrating story because it's just, there is potential there, and you see it, but it just, they missed the mark with this one. And trying to extend it into this bigger, like, part two, part three thing was not the route to go.
Got it.
Know your lane.
Got it.
Like Extraction. Extraction is action, deliver action. Extraction 2, action, deliver action. That's what you needed
to
do.
That's why they're getting an Extraction 3, right?
Yeah, just more action.
Yeah, just do it again.
Just do it again.
Chris Hemsworth, this is your thing.
He's like, yeah, I can point a gun at people.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Distract me from your brother being the Witcher on Netflix.
Please distract me from that.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Heads of State. So this is the John Cena, Idris Elba movie?
I remember seeing the trailer for this one.
I thought this was going to, like, suck.
I would assume it would be terrible.
What?
It does not suck.
Of course it doesn't.
What do you mean, of course it doesn't?
It's Idris Elba and John Cena.
I like both
As the
those.
President and Prime Minister yeah. respectively.
Who's the Prime Minister?
The Idris
English
Elba.
One, I wanted John Cena to speak with the British accent. I wanted him to be the Prime Minister, but of course we don't get that. So John Cena's the President of the United States.
Yeah, John Cena's the President. Idris Elba's the Prime Minister, and
Jack Quaid is in it.
Jack Quaid,
oh, yes.
Priyanka Chopra Jonas, Stephen Root, Chartel Copley, Patty Constantine.
Visser.
No, that's not it. No.
Patty Pimblett.
No,
Considine.
You are not helping.
Considine, right?
Considine, yeah. From House of the Dragon.
Constantine,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I can't with you. I just can't
it's
with
the
you.
Guy.
You are not helping. No. Not helping, Sean.
This movie rocks, though.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, it's good. It's 70% with critics, 81% with audiences. The best part is Idris Elba and John Cena going back and forth.
So of course it is. It's got two Fast and Furious alums in it.
And it's from the director who did Nobody, the Bob Odenkirk
which
movie.
Which is getting a sequel.
Which
as
is
well.
Getting a sequel. So the action is pretty solid throughout. Jack Quaid's scene in this movie is hilarious, especially in terms of the way they do it, shooting the action of it all. Like, it's funnily enough, it's a solid movie. Like, it's worth the watch. I fully expected me to be recommending Old Guard 2 over Heads of State.
Same.
Wrong. Heads of State. If you want to just put on a fun action comedy, put that on.
Is John Cena very presidential?
He's.
Do you think you would have voted for John Cena, given his platform that they show in the movie?
No, okay. I don't think so. I mean, I get his character and what he's trying to do in terms of bringing people together, but like, that man's just a musclehead, dumb. Like, and you know what I mean? Like,
you mean his character's a musclehead, dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
Yeah.
John
yeah.
Cena, the person, doesn't
no,
have to be John Cena.
Complex man.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got layers. I'm sure he's got layers. He's like an onion. I'm sure.
Keep peeling.
Yeah, I mean, he's Dominic Toretto's brother. He can play both Dominic Toretto's brother. Yeah.
And the President of the United States.
And the President of the United
and
States.
And Peacemaker.
Yeah, and Peacemaker. No, like, I'm joking. Just John Cena's good in this. And I like the character that he plays because he is so focused on the history of his – his character in the movie is a movie star that becomes president. So he relates a lot of things to his movie career, which is funny. And Idris Elba is a man who was in like the military for a little bit and is been a prime minister for 6 years. And he is sick of all his stuff in terms of John Cena's character. So it's funny. It's good.
Carlo Gugino plays the vice president.
Yeah. That was another one. I was like, she's in this movie. Charlton Copley, he's in this movie?
A lot of people in it.
And yeah. You guys thought this movie was going to stand.
I thought it was, but I was wrong.
We're wrong. Michael,
I was wrong.
Obviously, the music means we're almost out of time. We got one more before we wrap it up. We can do quickly a wreck or a stay away.
Sandman 2 is available.
The series?
Yeah, but you know, I don't. There's not enough reviews on it, but Ironheart finished this week, so go watch
I watched
that.
The first three episodes last night. I liked it.
I like it so far.
We'll see what the back half has for me. We're done for the day, and well, for the week, because it is the holiday. The guys are out in Galveston at Landry's Seafood House. Mm-hmm. You go out there and meet them, and not just that, you got the chance to get that electric bike. $4,000 worth, a pair of them, actually, so you got a chance to enter to win that. It's part of our summer circuit. Michael, thank you for joining us.
You can find
Comicast wherever you listen to podcasts and normally find it on Wednesday nights here on ESPN 975. Sean, since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Flip me over, Mike.
You had to do that earlier today.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate you.
They're giving each other hearts and waving at each other. What a duo. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. no matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.